Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Spent a good portion of the last hour just talking about the Cavaliers and where they're at, the two-minute report for the end of the game, which seems like a total waste of time, especially because they identified two plays in the final minute that should have been nullified and replaced with jump balls. And, you know, they were bad calls. That's all they were, but there were bad calls throughout the game, and that just kind of happens. And the Cavs ended up on the short end of the stick, although that lane violation to me was – basketball 101. Like, I just don't know how that wasn't called on the free throw before the game winning three. So I just think that's just so ridiculous. And like the fact that isn't it one official's job just to keep their eye on the paint during a free throw? I mean, how many they got out there? Is there no one out there that can't have that responsibility? I don't know. I just found that really hard to believe. So the Cavs end up losing that game again, 120 to 119. They'll play game three coming up here in Indianapolis. And Sam Amico will join us from HoopsWire.com at 11:20. So we'll talk to him about that. Plus, Danny Green's going to join us at 1 o'clock. Odyssey Sports NBA insider, former Cavalier, outstanding guest. Always has just like, just does not add any fluff to his comments. Love him. Love the fact that he's giving you the player's perspective on all
this
stuff.
He's from New York. He gets to the point.
And now his Knicks are up on the Celtics, so come on now.
I don't think they're his Knicks.
They could be if he grew up there. They can't be? But is it his Spurs?
When you play, yeah, when I would say it's his Spurs more than anything else.
Could it be his Cavs, too, deep down in his heart?
He was here for a year. They didn't treat him well.
Oh, well, that would probably mean that. I mean, just like when you say didn't treat him well.
He was a rookie and treated as such.
Well, I mean, would that have happened in any other team in the league? Or
got me.
Oh, now you make me think. Well, I don't want people leaving Cleveland thinking bad things about us. Frank is in Gates Mills. Hi, Frank. How are you?
Hi, Frank.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning to you.
Two comments. First of all, I don't look at the injuries as something that it's obviously impacting the game, but I don't blame the players. I don't think they should be going. I think you said it, Jeff. I mean, if they could go, they'd be playing. And I anticipate, I think Garland and Hunter will play on Friday. I don't think Mobley will play. So that's just comment number one. My second comment, I want to ask you guys a question. Is the game different in the playoffs versus the regular season? Do you believe that to be true?
Slightly.
I believe the players get away with a little bit more than they can during the regular season, and referees want to let the players decide. We talk about referees swallowing their whistle in these games. I don't have a real problem with that. I want the players to decide who the winner is. I don't want the referee having to decide that.
I agree, but I think it's too drastic of a difference between the playoffs and the regular season. This is my opinion. And if that's true, and if it is different, then maybe the Cavs are a good regular season basketball type of team, and they are not a good playoff type of basketball team, which is possible if the game is different. And it is a different game. When you watch a regular season game versus a playoff game, Isaac Okoro basically was hugging their point guard the entire game and did not get called for one foul until the end. And I guess in the fourth quarter it got a little tighter and they were calling more fouls. But it's hard to watch the difference between the regular season and playoffs. And I think, unfortunately, the Cavs are not set up for the playoffs to win.
Kind of feels that way right now, doesn't it, Frank? Thank you. Appreciate it. Rome is in Cleveland. Hi, Rome. How are you?
I'm all right. How y'all doing?
We're good. We're good. Your thoughts?
Just wanted to discuss, a few years ago, I used to listen to y'all every morning, first of all. And a couple of years ago, I was shot point-blank range in the back of my head, and I ended up losing a lot of my vision.
Okay.
But that shot, I got...
Hey, before we even go past this, how are you doing now? Are you doing okay?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I'm two semesters away from a bachelor's in social work. I help people that come home from prison get their life back together. I do a lot in the community. I help older folks that don't know resources that are available to them. So I took my life and kind of did some different things with it. God helped me, so I'm helping other individuals as well.
There you go, Rome. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that story. All right, now let's go back to back. Thank you for sharing, yes.
So I was shot, what was it, January 2nd. And I think I was in the hospital for about 3 weeks. And I was right back in school in the fall. And the reason why I was, my vision hadn't come back. I was still healing up mentally. But it was that determination. I was just determined to do it and wasn't going to let anything hold me back. And I don't think that the Cavs have that. Maybe Donovan Mitchell has it, but Evan Mobley, Darius Garland, and a lot of the other players that are mentioned, except for J.A., I just don't think that they have that determination, that will to get done what they really want to get done. And that's just my opinion. I'll hang up and see what you guys think about it.
Hey, Rome, thank you for calling. I appreciate you sharing your story with us, too, man. Take care of yourself, okay?
Keep going, Rome.
Okay, I
thanks,
will.
Rome.
Thanks. Great
All
stuff.
Right. Yep. Just a reminder that it's just sports.
I have a hard time thinking that guys don't have the desire or the drive or anything else and things like that. The one thing that I think, Andy, we both know and we understand, it's a lot different than it used to be. And I say that because guys, and I don't mean the Cavs. I mean, this is the NBA. This is Major League Baseball. This is the NFL. Although I think it's bigger with the NBA. There are fewer guys. And I think this is a bigger thing. Guys have these huge contracts. They think big picture, long term. They think brand. They think image. They think marketing more than players ever did before. Ever.
That's why I wasn't surprised when you told us Ron Harper's comments earlier.
Yeah.
Like, I think when you look back to that era,
Do you remember when Hot Rod Williams signed his free agent offer sheet with the Miami Heat and the infamous line, "I'm a Heat now"?
Yeah.
I'll always remember the numbers. 7 years, $26 million.
Huh.
And we thought it was preposterous. Well, guys get $26 million for showing up at practice now. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's silly. And there are other things to think about. And I can't say that any of us would think otherwise. No, wait a minute. I've got a $120 million contract. And if I stay healthy and don't bust up my foot, I can get another one?
Do the math.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people are. I mean,
seriously, though, Andy, right?
I know.
I mean, there's just so much money.
Well, I think you weigh that. You weigh that out against, okay, I lost it. I first of all, I was fortunate enough to make it to the NBA, and then I lost a game on, you know, May 7th or May 6th of 2025. Who's going to remember that?
Yeah.
You know, I just, especially if you're not a key player in the game.
I brought this up.
Although those guys are key players.
I brought this up yesterday with Tom. And this is part of it. I don't know any player who's more physically gifted or works harder to stay healthy than LeBron James. And, you know, I witnessed it firsthand. We all did here in Northeast Ohio, how hard this guy works and everything else. And if you remember his last year in Cleveland, he played in all 82 games. Remember that? It was the last year they went to the finals, the last year when he was in his, you know, his fourth year in his second trip here. And he kind of made it a point to play in all 82. I think he wanted, I personally think he knew he was leaving. And he didn't want anybody to say that he didn't give it his all. And he did. And he led the league in minutes and everything else. Since then, since he's been in L.A., games played for LeBron. And you know, a couple of these seasons didn't have full 82 games. But 55, 67, 45, 56, 55, 71, and 70. And that's the guy that I think works hardest on his body of anybody I know and is invested more in it. And not just financially, but effort-wise. And it's all part of the, okay, this is the NBA, and this is, there's a lot of money. There's a lot of money on the line here. And, you know, load management and rest. The NBA's had to institute rules for load management. Oh, goodness. They never did that back in the day.
No.
You went out and played.
Yep.
And then you went back to the hotel and washed out your socks in the hotel room sink. And they liked it.
And they flew commercial.
Well, that they did.
Yeah, and some not guys, they didn't, some teams didn't have enough travel budget. So what did they do? They took a horse to the next town. Jim is in Akron. Hi, Jim.
Jim.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, man.
I think kind of the point that you were making, Andy, about them not calling fouls and so on and so forth, more like the playoffs, but and then the refs having a part in the game like that, if they call the fouls and they do this, all this and that.
Right.
But if they don't call them, aren't they having a bigger part in the game, just like the lane violation?
Yeah, I guess it's – I think – I mean, I'll just say
it's
this
almost
is
like a double-edged sword.
Yeah, no, it totally – yeah, it's a
– great point, Jim.
Yeah, it's – I think it's a – yeah. You know, it's one of those things
– They had a huge role in the game on 2 days ago.
No, they did. No, yeah. You're right. Yeah. You're 100% right. I just don't – it's just a matter of consistency. I think any coach will ever tell you that, right? It's just a matter of being consistent. If you're going to make a call – make the call. And I think the harder part is once you get into 2, 3, 4 referees, or depending on the sport, you know, you want them all to be on the same page, and it never works that way. They're just never on the same page.
And that's it. It's been hit throughout history. That
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
You can't get the same guys all the group of guys to call the game the same way.
No,
refs call it a different way.
Especially when you're trying to institute a new ref that you know, you're trying to get somebody who might be calling games by the book and other people are calling games by the spirit of the game.
Exactly.
It is really frustrating.
A little bit. Yeah. No, I know. Exactly.
You're right, Jim. Hey, great phone call. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. All right, I know you got other folks on the line that still want to talk about this. Hang on the line. We'll get to you as quickly as we can. Our good friend Sam Amico, hoopswire.com, he will join us next coming up here on Baskin and Phelps.
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Good. Well, you painted the picture for me.
Sam is Hoopswire, by the way.
He is.
He doesn't just write for it. He is Hoopswire.
Do you want to be Hoopswire, or do you want to be someone who writes for Hoopswire?
Well, it's his website.
I could be both.
Yeah,
Yeah.
He's the man.
He wants to be both. And that's what's important. That's why we have him on the show. All right. Well, thanks for painting that great picture for me, my friend. Five times at home, an NBA team. Lost the first two at home and then still won the series. So you're saying there's a chance.
Well, you have to believe, right? You don't really have a choice at this point if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers and now Boston Celtics, both down 2-0, which we haven't seen this before. This is NBA history, the wrong side of it, but we've never seen two teams. We've never seen one 60-win team down 2-0 in the first or in the second round, and now we have two in the same span of a week. So, you know, yeah, there's stats that show that they could do it. You know, if you're the Cavs, that's what you got to hang your hat on. It's been done.
So we should blame the commissioner. Is that what we're saying?
Might as well.
Sounds good.
I think he gets blamed for everything else. So I'm on board.
He does get blamed for everything else, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. All commissioners do.
Come with the job. Part of the job, right?
part of the making a lot of money. So I get that completely. How injured are the Cavs? And do you think that there's any chance that these guys play?
I go back and forth. You know, I think that clearly the injuries are pretty severe. Not to be Debbie Downer, but you're talking about a sprained toe, which is, you know, I've seen people say he needs to come out and play, and there's probably some validity to that. But I don't think that Darius Garland, not to use a double negative in the same sentence, but I don't think he doesn't want to play. He wants to play, you know, and he's gone out there a few times and done some workouts, and it's been decided that he wouldn't be able to contribute, you know, based on the injury. Evan Mobley was limping noticeably after game two. And DeAndre Hunter, a dislocated thumb on your shooting hand. You got to go with what the coach has said, and Kenny Atkinson has said that they are all, you know, day-to-day status is up in the air. I can tell you this, with as angry as Kenny Atkinson is about it being physical, and you know, we heard his very fair comments on perhaps the line of physicality being crossed and him being agitated with that, it makes me think that it's not great news, because we don't see Kenny Atkinson very sour, or at least this sour, very often.
Let me ask you something about the way the game is played right now. You see Boston blow two 20-point leads in back-to-back games. You see the Cavaliers blow a 20-point lead, even though a great effort to get that with all of the injuries. I wonder, the Celtics and the Cavs, two of the top four teams in the NBA in three-pointers attempted per game. Is there any correlation there? That's in the regular season. They were two of the top.
Right.
Celtics were number one. Cavs were number four.
There could be. You know, look, I mean, the old saying, old school saying, is live by the three, die by the three.
Right?
Now, mm-hmm. Golden State, for years, turned that on its ear, which was, well, we're not dying by the three. But people forget about those Warrior Dynasty teams. They got so many shots at the rim by cutting and you know, almost running kind of the old school Princeton offense, where it's constant motion, and they just happen to have, you know, the best 3-point shooter in this era, and really actually two of them, and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. So, you know, a lot of teams have mimicked that. Kenny Atkinson and other coaches will call the Celtics run the five out, where all five guys are kind of shooting threes, your center, everybody. So we've seen Boston take and miss a record number of threes. And I think maybe partially, guys, when we're watching these playoffs, they let you be so much more physical defensively around the perimeter. We've seen how the Pacers and other teams will kind of push, grab, claw, and you never know what the refs are going to let them get away with in the playoffs. So, yeah, I think that you need to be all of a sudden, with the kind of rules changing in the playoffs, that can impact teams that have had success doing it a certain way in the regular season.
Is it good or bad? We had a caller that brought up a great point. It's like, okay, if you're going to decide to let teams play, well, why wouldn't you just do that during the regular season too? Like, again, we're all just looking for consistency, right? That's it. We're just looking for consistency. And if you've got one ref that's going to let him play and one who isn't, it's bothersome to sit here and even have to talk about the refs. And I wonder if we would be if the Cavs were up 2-0. That's the other thing, too. If we were on the other side of this, would we be talking about the refs?
Well, no. Nobody would be. But I can tell you this, and that's a great point that the caller made. Mm-hmm. Because I sat there last night watching the Celtics game, and I thought, you know, you're totally changing the style of play in the playoffs. You let them play one way all year, which is freedom of movement, right? That's right. The NBA's big rally cry, freedom of movement, not really allowed or supposed to close out on shooters during the regular season. You get called for flagrants if you get too close to a shooter, if your foot lands underneath him. You know, so closing out on shooters is discouraged during the regular season. During the playoffs, it's anything goes. And I'm just like, you know, forget the Cavs being down 2-0. I just look at the product overall, and I'm like, why all of a sudden have you changed the rules? Are you not as big on freedom of movement? Are you allowing dangerous closeouts on shooters? You know, I think the reason the Cavs are down 2-0 is because they haven't had their all-star point guard. I don't think it's the officiating. I think it's they're struggling to get the ball up the floor a lot of times. And, you know, Darius Garland clearly would change all that because he gets to wherever he wants to go on the court.
How good is Indiana?
Indiana is basically the same team as the Cavs, right? They're just a little more physical. But they're basically, when I watched the Pacers, I saw them a few times against the Bucks, and I thought, boy, people who are writing this off as an easy series for the Cavs are going to be way off, because this team very much mirrors the Cavaliers in the style that they play. They have, even though they called him overrated and he wasn't an all-star this year, they have an all-star caliber point guard in Tyrese Halliburton. They have a very good power forward who was an all-star in Pascal Siakam and Miles Turner. They're very deep. Those guys can shoot threes. You know, and Rick Carlisle said that the other day. He said it before the game. He said, I feel that these two teams mirror each other in our style of play and our efficiency. Since January 1st, guys, the Pacers have been, the third best record in the NBA? Now maybe second best record in the NBA if you include the playoffs.
How do the Cavs change this around? Forget about trying to win four games at once. They got to win one game, game three, and then they can worry about game four. So what do they need to do to win, and can they be a more physical team?
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know that they have to be more physical, because they were up 20, twice game two. So you just need one. I mean, look, and this isn't to blame anybody because it's a team-wide thing, but Ty Jerome, right, 1 of 14. He goes 3 of 14 in game two. That's over. That game is over. Couple more made threes from somebody else, game over. So they just have to do and defend like they did for 46 of the 48 minutes. You know, you can't have these small, Jared Allen said it the other night, you can't have these small mental lapses if you don't have your guys. But frankly, I think the only way they're going to get out of this series, and I still think there's a chance, but I think you need at least one of your injured guys back, and I think it either needs to be Mobley or Darius Garland. You're not going to win the series without at least one of those two.
Who else do you like in the NBA playoffs? Can the Knicks finish this off against the Celtics? Denver had a great win in game one, but then just got smoked last night. What do you think?
Yeah, that's the Nuggets for you. I mean, they did that against the Clippers too, right? They had a great win, and then they get crushed, and then they come back and win the series. I still, you know what's funny? I sat there thinking last night, yeah, I still don't think the Knicks are going to win that series. I still don't believe.
I feel the same thing. I don't know why I feel that way.
Probably because it's the defending champ and all that. And at least I do. I sit there and have strong doubts about the Cavs. The difference is, of course, the Cavs have three key players injured. The Celtics do not. But, you know, New York is the Knicks are always the Knicks. And they could very well just go right back home and lose both. So, you know, to me, I thought Golden State was cooking again, but now with Steph Curry being out a week, I really think far and away right now, far and away, the top two teams that I've seen are number one, the Oklahoma City Thunder when they're clicking, and number two, the Indiana Pacers. That to me, those have been the top two teams of the second round, Eddie.
Sammy, as always, thank you. We're always reading on HoopsWire to see what the latest is. And good stuff, my friend. Good stuff. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. We'll talk to you later.
He is Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin, 216-474-0092. I want to go back and talk about these pictures that were released about what the stadium could have looked like when the Browns did a proposal for what the stadium lakefront remodel could have been, and then they got leaked 4 years later. Like, what? So we're going to talk about that when we come back in a minute. Matt is in Cleveland. Hey, Matt, how are you?
I'm good, man. How you guys doing?
We're hanging in.
I got one question and one comment. The comment is, I think Golden State healthy, with Jimmy, they ain't nobody going to beat them. And then on the Cavs,
but they're not healthy.
Why do I see
they're
a
not
guy
healthy
that was first round draft pick eight, nine years ago, dressed, sitting on the bench at 6'11", and I know he's making way too much money.
6'8".
Ever go on the court.
6'8".
So you want to know why Tristan Thompson's not playing? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't he really fallen off that much?
Yes.
And if he is, why is he on our team?
Because they brought him in to be a veteran presence, and he's done a great job of that.
Vibes.
Okay.
You need more Tristan Thompson. You want him on that.
No, I need somebody 6'11 on the damn court helping.
Well, that wouldn't be Tristan. He's 6'8".
Or whatever.
Goodbye, Matt. Thank you.
Thanks,
appreciate it. Matt's all fired up.
They list Tristan at 6'9". Maybe he is.
Maybe he is 6'9"? Maybe. Not 6'11", though, right?
Maybe.
All right, Jeff. Yesterday, you know, I caught this.
And I love Tristan. He's a great guy. I've always liked him a lot. I think he's terrific. His best basketball is really in the rearview mirror.
I feel like we need to just completely knock this out and, like, solve it. So everybody who is asking the Tristan Thompson question, here is your answer. If you put him in that game, Tyrese Halliburton and Miles Turner will run pick and roll until your eyes bleed. And he will be roasted every single time. And offensively, he was lack thereof when he was young.
Correct. And he was an extremely valuable part of some really good Cavs teams in his younger days.
That was 10 years ago.
I'm not arguing with you.
Oh, no. That's not meant to be an argument.
No,
that's meant to be an
add-on. I agree completely.
An add-on.
I agree completely with what you've said.
Yeah.
He's been a valuable teammate to this current bunch of Cavaliers. But being a teammate and being a contributor on the floor are two different things.
If you think Tristan Thompson is the answer to your question, you need to change the question.
Well, if he is the answer, boy, are you in trouble.
I think he's good for six fouls, so... I mean, if you want someone to
do you that, that well, doesn't do you a whole lot of good. That's 12
free throws, which is 12 points, and now you lost by 13.
So no, where's your
but
two
that's
minute,
not always 12
where's
points,
your 2 minute thing on that?
Yeah, but I do think if you're trying to change the tone of the game and you want him to flatten somebody, I think you could do that. I trust him to do that, don't you?
Sign Kendrick Perkins. He's still available.
Can we play entrance music and have him run down with a 2x4 in his hand like Hacksaw Jim Duggan?
One of my favorite wrestlers ever, by the way. I loved Hacksaw.
Subbing out Jared Allen. And coming down!
Played with the Raiders. Didn't go to camp with the Raiders.
Okay. Scene Magazine published an image of the Browns' original renovation concept on Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
And they also had in their story, and I'm just kind of reading this according to what Daryl had too, so I just want to make sure, because I want to make sure that what I read is what other people saw and what Daryl saw too. So, but he just said, in Daryl's piece, he just said, in a story which featured city and county political leaders, including Cleveland Mayor Justin Bibb and County Executive Chris Ronayne, bemoaning the team's refusal to release their original renovation concept to the public. So they did. They did.
It got leaked somehow.
Yeah, so the pictures got leaked yesterday. I don't know. It looks like, you know, obviously this would be a situation where they would have converted Route 2 into a boulevard if you look at the picture. And you can see how the stadium has... It looks like they would have taken the stadium out to the same length that they did the arena, right? That was the first concept I thought. I was like, oh, look at that. They're going to change the entranceways in, and they're going to create this glass facade on the outside, and they're going to bring that out, and they were going to put... I mean, you can only see so much in the one
picture. They liked it so much at the arena, they're going to do the same thing at the stadium.
Yeah, that kind of a feel is what you see there.
It looks very similar.
Yeah, and then they also... you see the street on the other side doesn't really look like it's a street anymore, and they've got some trees over where the dock was, where they took that out. They knocked out a bunch of warehouses that were on the other side last year anyway. So you could see where they wanted to kind of remodel what the backside between the lake and the stadium would look like. Whatever. I just like okay. Why did this come out 4 years later? Help me. Help me. Anybody? Anybody. Why did these pictures get leaked 4 years after the fact?
You got me.
I don't know.
The only thing I can think of is somebody leaked them. You know, it might not have been anybody, Andy, who was involved in any of these talks. Might have just been somebody sitting around somewhere who had access to them for some reason and gave them to Scene Magazine. Good for Scene. They got those pictures.
Yeah, good for Scene. I give you that. But I find that hard to believe that somebody who didn't have, a piece on the chessboard didn't give them to Scene Magazine. They obviously had to have at one point. Otherwise, how would they have got the picture? Someone tied to them. Yeah.
Somebody gave it to them, but who knows? And who cares? As the Browns said, hey, yeah, these are photos and drawings, and yep, they're many years old, and yep, we still haven't received any funding thoughts from the county or the city.
And so it seemed to me, and at the time, and if you read Daryl's piece, and I mean, Daryl's piece is really in-depth and walks you through everything. And it talks about the way the county and the city this just feels like a big political ping pong match right now. And it doesn't seem like, it seems like at one point, maybe perhaps before, and if you read what Daryl's saying, when Frank Jackson was the mayor, it seemed like the city and the Browns were on the same page. And then when Mayor Bibb came in, everything kind of changed. And I don't know, you know, I don't know what Mayor Bibb's thoughts were, and I'm not going to try to come up with those for him, but it doesn't seem like he was on the same page as Frank Jackson, the former mayor. In fact, in Daryl's piece, it says, during the Brown Stadium exploration process that followed a $125 million renovation, the team funded with Cleveland repaying $30 million over 15 years. That sounds like nothing right now compared to all this other stuff. Former Cleveland Mayor Frank Jackson asked the Haslams to draw up plans to revitalize the lakefront. Those plans, which cost the Haslams millions, were released in May of 2021. This is straight from Daryl Ryder's article on 92.3 The Fan. But the Bibb administration, which was sworn in January of 2022, cast the Haslam plans aside in favor of developing the city's own concept for the lakefront, including public surveys and input. with little cooperation, including tangible funding proposals from the city and county leaders. So the city and county had like no, if you read what Daryl's saying here, like they had no funding proposals. Like, okay, it sounds good. Who's paying for this, right?
If you read it. And that's the point, yeah.
Yeah. So the Browns then at that point said, well, you know what? We're going to zero in on Brook Park early in 2024 after exploring options to build a new stadium on Burk Lakefront Airport. Twice they did that. The Browns looked at the lakefront twice, the post office on the south side of downtown, as well as land off of Transportation Avenue and I-480, where the new county jail is going to be built, and land in Independence near Brecksville and Rockside Roads. The team had proposed a 50-50 public-private split to cover $2.4 billion, the cost of the enclosed Brook Park Stadium, and state legislature was debating how to fund the $600 million contribution from the state. And then he just said, in addition, the Haslams have pledged nearly $1 billion towards the construction of a mixed-use development steps towards a new stadium, all to be built on 176 acres of land by Snow and Engle Roads out in Brook Park. I'll go back to square one on this whole thing. Like, does the county not know that Brook Park is in the county? Like, this is all development. No matter where, okay, at some point there's going to be development. Something's got to change here. The lease runs out on the stadium. We all agree on that. We all know that the lease runs out on the stadium, meaning the Browns have fulfilled their obligation on that stadium. There's no Modell law past that. I don't understand where this argument even goes any farther. Like, it really bothers me that the county and the city and can't get on the same page with the Browns, or the Browns aren't on the same page. Like, we're all losers in this, right? But I guess at the end of the day, we're winners because we're going to end up with a facility that we probably get to use more than 15 times a year.
Maybe.
That, to me, is the end-all, be-all. Can you please give me a building that we're putting money into and you're going to maintain that you're going to be able to use 15 times a year?
Keyword again, maybe. It's not there yet.
It's up and down. Like, I don't want to be a pawn in this anymore. I don't think any of us should have to be a pawn in this. The city has a golden opportunity to redevelop that land. Take it, quit being a landowner, and move forward. They don't have to be the landlord for a professional sports team anymore. The city doesn't. They have a golden opportunity. The county should just keep their mouth shut. Brook Park is in Cuyahoga County. If you get people working and dates, hello, it's the end of it. Come on, man. Let's all get with the program here. I hate when our city goes backwards. Do I wish the Browns could find a spot in Cleveland before this lease runs out? Yes. I'd love for this thing to be downtown. But to me, it doesn't seem like City Hall really wants it downtown. They want someone to pay for this thing to demolish it.
Also, no guarantee the Haslams want all of the extra development in downtown. You know, let's keep that part in mind.
They did at one point.
Well, the stadium's one thing, but all the other stuff they want to put in, maybe they think that it's better suited economically to not be downtown.
I don't know. I'm tired of being in the middle of this. I'll be honest with you. Let's just see what happens. Let's just make sure the Browns have a home in Northeast Ohio. 216-474-0092 if you want to hop in on this. Also want to get into the Guardians as well. Chris Rose is going to join us at 1220. Danny Green at 1 o'clock. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.